The psalm I chose for tonight is Psalm 18. Psalm 18. It's one of the longest psalms in the first part of the book of Psalms. It is attributed to David. For one reason, it is almost identical to 2 Samuel chapter 22. So if you look at Psalm 18 and then open your Bibles and look at 2 Samuel 22, you'll see that they're very, very similar. The background for 2 Samuel chapter 22 is David has been king. He has conquered his enemies. He is reigning over a united Israel. And all of that is seen in this psalm. And this psalm is primarily a song or a poem of thanksgiving. And we're going to kind of divide it up as we read it and look at the various things David is thankful for, and we'll see that they are things that we can be thankful for as well. We might apply them in different ways, but they are still things that we should be thankful for. So hopefully this will help us in our prayer life a great deal. You'll notice the Psalm has quite a heading, quite a title. It says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so I shall be saved from my enemies." This very, very beginning, David is, first of all, he is thankful for who God is. Now, we might think, well, that's something that's very obvious. Well, it is. But there's a lot of things that we probably aren't thankful for that's pretty obvious. He uses here, David does, all kinds of descriptions of God as being someone who is trustworthy, someone who's strong, someone who is powerful, someone with authority, someone who is able to deliver David. And notice some of those descriptions. A rock, a fortress. He's my strength. He's my shield. The horn of my salvation, my stronghold. The word stronghold there is from a Hebrew word that means like a tall tower. So this is how David thinks about God. God is so powerful and strong that he is able to do whatever is necessary. And we were talking in this morning's class about our world and our society and our culture and the things that are going on in it. And I think his brother Naramore, might have been someone else that mentioned that regardless of what's going on, we know that God is in charge. He's the one that's in charge. He's the one that has all authority and all power. It's not military weapons, it's not certain governments or anything else, it's not economies or any technology. It's God. And David is thankful for that at the very beginning of this psalm. He is thankful that God is who God is. And he keeps using the word my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, my shield, my salvation. It's personal to David. And that's something we need to be thankful for. Yes, God is a rock and a fortress and a stronghold, but he's my rock and my fortress. He's my deliverer. When we personalize it, I think we make it more relevant. And it means more to us when we personalize the fact that he is those things. Because that's what David did. He personalized it. He continues it really in the first 19 verses, talking about how God has delivered him. And remember, David is writing this in the past tense. If we go to 2 Samuel 22, all of these things have already happened to David. God has delivered him in countless ways. You know, we're beginning in our study on Wednesday night in 1 Samuel, we're beginning to see David and all the different things that's beginning to happen to David. He's not really started his reign. He's been anointed, but he's not started his reign. And we see all the things that he's getting ready to go through to eventually get to be king and to be king over a united Israel. And so he is thankful for God. And he's looking back and thinking about all the different ways that God has delivered him. So he says, "The pangs of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry came before him even to his ears." David, on so many different accounts or so many different times, was surrounded by death. And so many people at different times tried to kill him. And so he, you know, in retrospect, he's looking back over all of these things in his life that led him to the point that he is. And he realizes how many different times God delivered him. Because it was God's will. And God delivered him so many different times from these things. And he's feeling grateful that when he called out to God, God heard him. And now he describes the power of God, and he describes it in terms of things of nature. "Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken because he was angry." Who's he angry at? He's angry at David's enemies, and has been. Because his enemies are trying to thwart God's plans, God's will. And so God is angry at them. And so David pictures God as shaking the earth, causing the hills of the earth to quake. That's how powerful God is. "Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it." And now we see God's power depicted kind of like a volcano. And the power of a volcano, of course, is immense. Well, he says that's like God. That's God's power. "He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His canopy around him was dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed with hailstones and coals of fire." Now we see him depicted, his power, kind of like a great thunderstorm. It's got hail, and it's got wind, and it's got dark clouds, and all of these things, like coals of fire, he says. And so those things are things that are ways that David is showing God's force. These people knew all about the violent forces of nature, so he's showing this is how powerful God is. God controls nature. God made nature, so God's even more powerful. God's more powerful than tornadoes. He's more powerful than hurricanes. He's more powerful than these thunderstorms. He's more powerful than volcanoes. He's more powerful than all of these things. But to get the people who are reading this to understand how powerful God is, David uses these forces of nature to depict how powerful his God is. So if God can control those things, he is certainly the fortress, the strength, the deliverer that David says he is. So that's how he describes him. "He thundered from heaven. He uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered the foe, lightnings in abundance, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils." Again, more depictions as the things of nature. God is powerful. And we need to be thankful for that. David is thankful that the God he serves has that kind of power. I mean, this is the one who spoke the world into existence. This is the one who controls the world. He controls the power of volcanoes. He controls the power of hurricanes. He controls that power. So therefore, he's more powerful than they are. You can't control something unless you're more powerful than it. So I think that's why David uses these descriptions, to show just how powerful God is. And he can help us. Notice the next few verses. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Now we're seeing what God is able to do. He delivered David. He took David from the presence of all of his enemies and put him in a broad place. This description in Hebrew is a place where it's free from anything that might harm. So when he says he brought him to a broad place, he brought him to a place where it was a place of comfort and ease and peace. See, he had been in distress. David knew all about distress. David knew all about anxiety. He knew all about people hating him. Lots of people hated David. But David says, he delivered me because he delighted in me. Why did he delight in David? Because David was faithful. That's why he delighted in him. David led a righteous life. Not a perfect life, but he led a righteous life, a faithful life. When you look at David's life, those are words that describe him. Not perfect, not sinless, but faithful and righteous. And so God delighted in him. Now he starts the next section. The next 10 verses, there's something else that is the subject of his thankfulness. He's thankful for the fact that God has delighted in him and accepted him. Now think about that. God didn't have to accept us. You know, when sin came into the world, when sin came to our lives, he didn't have to accept us. But David is thankful then, and we should be thankful that he does accept us. And that's what David's thankful for. Notice the words he uses. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. See, David says, I have led not a perfect life, not a sinless life, but I have led a righteous life. I've tried to fill my life with doing what's right, keeping my hands clean. He says, I've kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. He fell and he stumbled, but he did not depart from God's way. For all his judgments were before me, I did not put away his statutes from me. David knew what the law of Moses said. He knew God's commandments and ordinances. And he says, I didn't put them away from me. I kept them close. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. David kept himself from living a life of sin. How do you do that? When you sin, you do what? You repent of it. That's what David did. David repented of the wrongs he had done. So that's how he could say that he led a righteous life, a pure life, a clean life, a holy life, was because when he did sin or stumble, he repented and asked God to forgive him. He didn't try and justify it. He knew he had done wrong. So he admitted he had done wrong. And you can think about some of the things in David's life that fit that description. And so David was thankful that God had forgiven him and had accepted him. Even though he wasn't perfect, even though he wasn't sinless, God had accepted him. So he says in verse 34, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. You know, he always had that desire to do what was right. He had that desire to follow God, to keep his hands clean. Yes, they got dirty on occasion, and so what did he do? He washed them. He didn't leave them dirty. That's the difference. He didn't have any desire to let them remain dirty. He wanted to get them clean. And so regardless of the type of sin that was in his life, he wanted to get clean. And he was glad that once he had sinned and gotten his hands dirty, that God would accept him back. Well, what a marvelous thing for us to be thankful for, that God is willing to forgive us and accept us back into his presence, into his fellowship. That's what David was thankful for. And obviously it's something that we should be thankful for. So with the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you'll show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. For you will save the humble people, but will bring down haughty looks. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. No wonder David is thankful. Notice the characteristic of God that he's describing here. He says, God's going to treat you like you treat God. If you're merciful, God will show you mercy. If you're blameless, God will show yourself blameless. If you're pure, God will show you pure. If you're proud, God will bring you down. But if you're humble, God will lift you up. And he's thankful that by God he can run against a troop, and that by God he can leap over a wall. Not by his power. Notice he doesn't take credit for any of these abilities. He always gives credit back to God. In other words, God was the source of his energy. God was the source of his strength. God was the source of his power. It wasn't himself. What a great thing to be thankful for. Now, in the next seven verses, 30 through 36, there's something else David is thankful for. He's thankful that God never broke his promises, that he could always rely on God and God's strength. Notice what he says. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me so my feet did not slip. Of course, in Palestine, and even if you went there today, it's a rocky place, a lot of it is. So being able to have sure feet and being agile and not falling, people understood those characteristics. So he says, God, that's how you've made me. You've kept me agile and sure-footed. He says, I could trust you because you're my strength. I don't put any strength in myself to do this. David knew it wasn't of himself, but it was because God had given him those abilities and God had been with him. And so he's thankful that God has been with him during all of those times. And so he uses the example of like a deer. It says he makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on high places. The idea of God being with him. High places. Out of the reach of his enemies. And we can imagine, a deer being right up on top of a rock on the edge, and he's away from his enemies. His enemies can't approach him. And so David says, that's how I feel about God. Because God is my deliverer and my strength. He's my fortress. He makes me sure-footed, and I can trust in him. And that's what he says. Well, he goes on then in the next 10 or 12 verses, getting in verse 37. I pursued my enemies, overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again until they were destroyed. I've wounded them so that they could not rise. They've fallen under my feet. For you, he's talking about God, have armed me with strength for the battle. You've subdued under me those who rose up against me. You've also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. What's he thankful for here? Victories. He's thankful for his victories. Victories over his enemies, those who hated him, those who tried to destroy him. He says, you gave me victories. David says, I didn't do it. You gave me the strength to overcome my enemies. And he does that today too. He gives us strength to overcome our enemies. You know, he's promised us that there's no temptation will ever come our way that with God's help we're not able to handle. But if we try to go it alone and do everything ourselves and think that all the power is within us, that we don't need him or his word or anything else, then we're going to fall. So David knew that and was thankful because God had gave him victory. Given me the necks of my enemies. They cried out, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind. I cast them out like dirt in the streets. He's talking about his enemies and what he was able to do to them. Cast them out into the streets. You've delivered me from the strivings of the people. You've made me the head of the nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they obey me. The foreigners submit to me. The foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideouts. And again, remember, going back to 2 Samuel 22, at this point in his life, he has conquered all the nations around him. His enemies are afraid of him. The nations around him are afraid of him. Why? Because they know God is behind him. Not because David is the greatest warrior or anything, or he has the greatest weapons, no. But he has the greatest God. That's why the nations around, the foreigners, as he calls them, are afraid of him. And that's why they obey him. It's because of that. It's because God is for him. And they understand that God, Jehovah, is behind David's victories. So at this point, he has a united people. He's reigning over a united Israel. As he talks about, the strivings are over, the divisions are over. He's reigning as a king over a united nation. And he's thankful that his enemies, that the foreign nations and all of them are in submission. But he says it's all because of you. It's all because of what God had done, not what he had done. So God had raised him up. God had put him on that high place. God had given him that kingdom. So he's joyous. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. You probably recognize those words to a song. So let him be exalted. It's God who avenges me and subdues the peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You've delivered me from the violent man. Who is it? It's God. And he's alive. It's not a dead God. He's alive. He's the God of my salvation, and it's him who takes vengeance. It's him who takes vengeance. And David prays that the God of his salvation be exalted. Remember the disciples' prayer that Jesus gives in the Sermon on the Mount? You know, that's how it begins. Hallowed be your name. May God's name be revered, respected, hallowed, lifted up, exalted. So here's something else probably that needs to be in our prayers. We should pray for that to happen. That God's name would be exalted in our world and revered and respected and lifted up. David's thankful for who God is. And then he concludes this psalm by saying the last two verses, therefore, this is the closing of it, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Great deliverance he gives to his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. Verse 49 is quoted in the New Testament. It's quoted by Paul, Romans chapter 15. And it's interesting that Paul, by inspiration, uses this verse in referring to the fact that the Gentiles can be saved as well as the Jews. That the Messiah, the Deliverer, came to deliver not just the Jews, but the Gentiles as well. The Christ, the Messiah, the Deliverer, the Savior. He wasn't just the Savior of the Jews. Paul says he's the Savior of the Gentiles. And so, David, the end of this psalm is in some way messianic. It's about the Messiah and what the Messiah would one day do. And so David, at the end of the psalm, he says this is about being thankful. Being thankful for all that God has done. He remembers God's grace, God's mercy, God's power. He remembers all of that. And that God can be trusted. So just think about all the things we can be thankful for. And this psalm has been left for us to remind us of those things. And probably more than anything in the psalm, David stresses the idea of deliverance. Deliverance. And many of this refers to physical deliverances. But the Messiah didn't come to deliver us from physical ailments or physical battles, but he did come to deliver us from sin and its consequences. And that he did by dying on Calvary, by shedding his blood. And that's the blood that's available to wash away sins in baptism. That's the blood that's available to continue to cleanse us from all sin when we repent and ask to be forgiven. As we're led in this invitation song by Travis, let's think about the power of that blood and be thankful for what it has the ability to do. If you need to come tonight, I encourage you to do that as we stand and sing this song.